what we saw. So foreword is Gopiparan Nan Prabhu. Okay, first. Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swamini Dhanamine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharane Nirvisheshi Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshadarine Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasadi Gauru Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare. So foreword is Gopi Parandan Prabhu appreciating Shivaram Swami Maharaj as being very capable of presenting insightful commentaries on the Siddhanta. Okay, basically that is the essence. And introduction we read Shuddha Bhakti Chintamani is book by Shivaram Swami Maharaj. So, kya hai wo book? That's what we read. I am going to give you a synopsis of what we have read. We have not completed the full introduction. So, first, Shivaram Swami Maharaj starts this by appreciating Prabhupada and how he derived the meaning of the word International Society for Krishna Consciousness through this verse by Sri Rupa Goswami from his Padyavali. Krishna Bhakti Rasa Bhavita Mati Kriyatam Yadi Kutopi Labhyate Tatra Laulyam Api Moolyam Ekalam Janma Koti Sukriterna Labhyate. So, International Society for Krishna Consciousness. Krishna Consciousness is Krishna Bhakti Rasa Bhavita Mati. This is the International Society for Krishna Bhakti Rasa Bhavita Mati. Means, pure devotional service in Krishna consciousness. That is, pure devotional service in Krishna consciousness. This Mati, Kriyatam Yadi Kutopi Labhyate. Whatever you can pay it and get it. By hook or crook. Tatra Laulyam Api Moolyam Ekalam. But you can... The currency is laulyam, greed to attain it. Janma koti sukritairna labhyate. And this you cannot achieve by even millions of births of accumulating any kind of pious credits. Because this is a different currency only. So, he says that this verse refers to the devotional service. And the beauty of Shivaram Swami Maharaj in this book is he has... Anything that he quotes from Jiva Goswami's Sandarbhas or Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Vairupa Goswami or Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur and Raghavarti Chandika, he always supports it from somewhere or other by giving some Prabhupada's quotes. Prabhupada's purports, Prabhupada's lectures, he quotes and supports. So, Srila Prabhupada often said that the way to awaken this greed for spontaneous loving service. So he says that ultimately to develop spontaneous devotional service is the purpose. Because Krishna Bhakti Rasa Bhavita Matihi means that spontaneous attraction for Krishna. But in ISKCON society, is it available, one may say? Can we go... Are we supposed to practice, can we practice spontaneous devotional service? And Prabhupada says that is available only if you get the association of a pure devotee. So then he says, and where can we one find such sublime association? Prabhupada wanted it to be available in ISKCON. He states, he quotes from the Journey of Self-Discovery. It is only this institution, this Krishna consciousness movement that is teaching people how to see Krishna. You can see Krishna only at the stage of bhava. Thus he makes it clear that the intended mission of the society he so painstakingly nurtured from its inception is that it become a spiritual institution in which its members by following his teachings would awaken the spontaneous devotion with which to purchase Krishna. Kriyatam, and then provide the kind of association that would help others to do the same.
But in devotional
Raganuga. Spontaneous devotion is actually bhava only, but Raganuga is also spontaneous in a particular way, but both are not spontaneous in the same way. Bhava is spontaneous because there is a spontaneous attraction to serving Krishna. But Raganuga is spontaneous in the sense that there is a spontaneous attraction to perform one's devotional duties following in the footsteps of the Vrajavasis. But there is no spontaneous attraction to Krishna yet. So, the way in which the word spontaneity is used for Bhava and Raganuga is in different sense.
Here it is.
Wow. Here, he refers to Bhava only, but Bhava of the Raganuga type, which will, he will make it, he will clarify it later, little later.
It is like the...
Because why he has written this book, he is going to write now. Why did I endeavor to write this book that he is going to tell? Yeah.
Puji, it is like previous one, the Bhava is like for the Abhideya purposes in the Raganuga Bhakti we say. Like in the previous student, Bhava stage, that what Raghavya, spontaneity, that is for the Prayojan, because you have seen Krishna and now you want to serve Krishna. In the previous stage, they have not seen Krishna but they want to just follow the Vrajavasis. Yeah. Like that. So one is
the spontaneity. Javi. Yeah, the way, like we saw the example of learning to play cricket. So one person is spontaneously attracted to learning cricket by watching Sachin Tendulkar's videos. So in that sense, he is spontaneous. But he cannot spontaneously play that shot. He still has to practice. But a person at the stage of Bhava, he can spontaneously play. But one can reach that spontaneity by learning through books or learning through videos. One who learns through books is Vaidhisadhaka. A person, one who has learnt it is a person at the stage of Bhava who has reached it through Vaidhisadhana. And one who has learnt it through videos, giving an example, don't take it literally, is the person at the stage of Bhava who has come through Raganuga Sadhana. So the sense in which the word spontaneity is used in both cases is different. It's not the same. So therefore, in some sense, Bhava is called spontaneous devotional service. In some sense, Raganuga is also called spontaneous. But we have to see in what sense it is used. If you say spontaneity means spontaneous attraction to Krishna, then that is Bhava only. If you say spontaneous means spontaneous attraction to mold one's devotional activities seeing the Vrajavasis, then that is Raganuga. So there is a difference.
So we can say like that Bhavas and Prema Ankur, that part is like perfection. And this is like
Perfection means, Bhava is called perfection for a sadhana, for a sadhaka. But when one reaches Bhava, that becomes the sadhana. To achieve the sadhya of prema. So therefore, in the chapters on bhava, a bhava bhakta is called sadhaka. Whereas in the chapters on sadhana, bhava is called sadhya bhavasa sadhana vidha. Bhava is called sadhya. Whereas when you go to bhava, the bhava bhakta is called sadhaka. Sadhaka parikirtita. That word is used. Because for that person, prema is the prayojana. So in Narada Muni's case, Krishna came, gave him darshan. That is possible only at the stage of bhava. But after that, it was sporadic darshan. So now he says, avipakva kashayanam durdarshoham kuyoginam. For one who has not yet perfected, so you have to work hard. So now he is working hard, which means he has become now the sadhaka.
On the bhava level.
On the bhava level. So, like, the goals keep changing. Like for a person, who is in school to get into college is the goal. But for one who is in college, to get a job is the goal, like that. So, the depending on what stage you are always a sadhaka. Like even at the stage of prema, then there are higher stages. Mana, raga, anuraga and all those things, depending on what rasa you are. You know, there are scope is there. So you may still become a sadhaka there.
In earlier sections, earlier objects we studied, we saw that from Vaidhi to move to Raganuga, one is greed. So then from Raganuga to move to how?
One needs to follow the process. In 1966, a friend suggested a name for Srila Prabhupada's new society. He said, why not International Society for God Consciousness? Prabhupada says, no. This title is very vague and unscientific. He instead named this International Society for Krishna Consciousness. Because people could then identify his society with a concrete conception of God. The name accommodates both devotion to the countless... So, well, at least, why Krishna Consciousness? Because God consciousness is more, but here also Krishna consciousness is also all encompassing. Because Krishna is to Bhagavan Swayam. As in Anukulyan Krishna no Shilana in defining Uttama Bhakti. Why not? It wouldn't it be more appropriate to name it Anukulyan Bhagavat Anushilanam? Because is Prahlad Maharaj a pure devotee or not? Uttama Bhakti, did he practice Uttama Bhakti or not? Yes. But he did not do Krishna Anushilanam. He did Narasingha Anushilanam. What about Hanumanji? Did he practice Uttama Bhakti or not?
Yes.
But he didn't do Krishna Anushilanam. He did Rama Anushilanam. Bali Maharaj, Vamana Anushilanam. And so on.
That's why he's source of all incarnations.
Because Krishna is the source of all incarnations. Krishna includes Rama, Narasingha, Vamana, everyone. But if you say it as Rama Anushilanam, then Ram does not include
Krishna.
So Krishna Anushilanam, the word Krishna is all encompassing. Like that. Lord Krishna and Lord Chaitanya come to give more than just the religious system for a particular age. So then he establishes, they came for a particular purpose. What did they come for? Prema rasa niryasa karite aswadan raga marga bhakti loke karite pracharan. So they came to give raga marga prachar. They came to do raga marga prachar. They came to preach the path of performing devotional service following in the footsteps of the Vrajavasis. They came to give raga anuga. So both Krishna and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Krishna in Bhagavatam also it is said, Anugrahaya Bhaktanam Manushim Tanum Ashrita Bhajate Tadrishi Krida Yashrutva Tatparo Bhavet. It is mentioned. The purpose is Yashrutva, when you hear these pastimes, Tatparo Bhavet, you get a desire to become one of a participant in that Krida. So which means Vraja Krishna. Krishna performed his Vrindavan pastimes because he wanted to increase his he wanted to attract more and more people to participate in the pastimes with them in Vrindavan. And that is possible only by Raga Bhakti. Because by Vaidhi Bhakti you go to Vaikuntha. By Raga Bhakti you go to Goloka. Both achieve perfection. If you want to go loka, that is a specific path. Therefore, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to give Raga Bhakti. Raga Marga Bhakti Loke Karite Pracharan. As Lord Chaitanya, Krishna appears with the same associates. Dressed as sadhus instead of cowherd people, the Lord and his devotees teach the world how to awaken the same Vraja Prem. So, to guide persons to Vraja Prem, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu first inspired them to give up deceitful religion and engage in devotional service according to scriptural nature. But the way to Raga Marga is Vaidhi Bhakti only. When purified, neophytes could, by chanting the Hare Krishna Mahamantra, develop attachment for Krishna's form, qualities and pastimes and then spontaneously serve the Lord. So, after getting purified, they can perform spontaneous devotional service. To serve with spontaneous devotion means to cultivate a mood of love similar to the love of one of the Vrajavasis. This is Raganuga. But uske liye, there is some level of purification that is needed. So it starts with Vaidhi Bhakti. So in this regard, Srila Prabhupada quotes Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur. In the Dasya Ras, one follows in the footsteps of servants like Chitrak, Patrak or Raktak. So this comes in the Raganuga section. In the Sakya Bhav, one becomes a friend like Baldev, Shridama or Sudama. Vatsalya Ras, one tries to follow in the footsteps of Nanda Maharaj, Yashoda, like that.
The first line, when purified by chanting. Purified, it's like a prerequisite. Purification.
Yeah, a level of purification is needed to start Raganuga sadhana.
But chanting itself is the method for purification.
Yeah. When purified by chanting the Hare Krishna Mahamantra, neophytes develop attachment for Krishna's form, qualities and pastimes. And then spontaneously serve the Lord. Because then there must be some, see, the there is a difference in the meaning of the word raga in Raganuga and raga in Ragatmika. So, Krishna Chaitanya Thakur mentions in one of the purports somewhere, raga in Raganuga means intense attraction to hear 10th canto pastimes according to one's rasa. And the word raga in Ragatmika means spontaneous greed to serve Vraja Krishna. So like that. So here there is an attraction to hearing. This is the essence of instruction in the matter of devotional service. A nectar of instruction. Tan nama rupa charitadi sukirtananu smrityor kramena manasa rasana manasi niyojya tishtan vrajeta danuraga jananugami kalam nayeta dakilam iti upadesha sara. This is the essence of all upadesh, essence of all instructions, is tan nama rupa charitadi sukirtanam smrityor kramena rasana manasi niyoti. First the senses, rasana means tongue, rasana includes all the other senses, kramena rasana, then manasi niyoti. First engage all the senses. Tishtan vraje, this is one of the limbs of Raganuga Bhakti, one has to stay in Vraja, Vrindavan. At least mentally. Tad anuraga jananugami, and should become a follower of anuraga jana, ragatmika bhaktan, the vrajavasis. Iti akilam kalam naye, one who spends all his time in this way, iti upadesha saram. This is the essence of all advice given by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Because he has come to spread Raganuga Bhakti.
This is mentioned by this shloka.
Last time भी आपने यही क्वेश्चन पूछा नेक्टर ऑफ इंस्ट्रक्शन एट वर्स
हाँ
एट वर्स सेवेंथ वर्स इस स्यात कृष्ण नाम चरितादि सिताप्य विद्या to be Krishna conscious then means to qualify oneself for spontaneous devotion in one of the four mellows of Vraja Bhakti as exemplified by Krishna's eternal companion. This is what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to give. Because this understanding is confidential, Srila Prabhupada rarely spoke of it in public and wrote about it only sparingly in his books. He in general says bhakti or many times says vaidhi sadhana only. But it is not wrong because the means to reach Raganuga is vaidhi sadhana only. So abhi hum koi even though ultimately one may want to let's say someone may have a desire to become the neurosurgeon, ek devotee boy, while he was doing MBBS only his desire was I want to become a neurosurgeon. A brilliant boy. Was like BJ Medical College ka gold medalist. First, second rank. So, but generally, even though that may be the goal, but वो semester में ये paper pass करना है, वो ही हमारा mood रहता है ना, the purpose is I have to score well in this paper. Short term goals. So even though long term goals ultimately inspire us, but we have to concentrate on the short term accomplishments. So Prabhupada, that's why sometimes speaks about love of Godhead, or sometimes speaks about Praganuga Bhakti, but many times focuses on Vaidhi Sadhana only. Because if we don't do Vaidhi Sadhana properly, then we will prematurely think that we are qualified for Raganuga and we will end up becoming Sahajiyas. Yet, because it is the essence of Krishna consciousness, His divine grace did talk about it, did write about it, and did expect thoughtful devotees to understand and carefully pursue it. And he gives some examples where Prabhupada mentioned. For instance, in 1974, when Srila Prabhupada greeted his disciples in Vrindavan at the first major international ISKCON festival, he encouraged them to reflect on and aspire for this perfection of becoming followers of Antatanuraga Jananugam. He also warned that such a confidential quest, the goal of which is suitable for Paramahamsas, must be approached with great caution and reverence. He explained that the first steps in the quest included understanding Krishna and his devotional service by studying the first 9 cantos of Srimad Bhagavatam. So one cannot read the 10th canto without reading the first 9 cantos. And unless one hears from the 10th canto, one will not get attracted to the Vrajavasis. So therefore, it starts with Vaidhi Sadhana. And you can't read Bhagavatam without reading Bhagavad Gita, NOI, NOD, small books. So therefore, slowly, that's how Vaidhi Sadhana is incorporated in the way in which Prabhupada has given out, the other acharyas have given. First it starts with Vaidhi Sadhana and then it moves on to Bhakti Vaibhava.
Understanding,
assimilating, not just reading, studying, not just flipping through. So, that initial study complete, their hearts purified, devotees could then hear Krishna's pastimes in the 10th canto. Which means Prabhupada expects that by first reading the 9th cantos, there must be significant purification of heart. And develop attraction for the service of his associates. Following in the footsteps of Rupa Goswami and Raghunath Das Goswami, devotees could finally hear Krishna's pastimes with the gopis without mistaking such leelas for mundane romantic affairs. So, but of course, this indicates a particular threshold of overcoming the anarthas. Like there is this, what is that verse? The Phalashruti of Ras Leela. Vikriditam Rajavadubir Idam Cha Vishnu Shastan Vito Anushruniyat Atavarnayedya Bhaktim Param Bhagavato Pratilabhya Kamam Hridrogam Ashu Apahinoti Achirena Dhira. It is mentioned that Hridrogam Kamam Apahinoti. It removes lust from the heart, which means while hearing it, one may not be completely cleared of the, but at the same time there is a particular threshold. One cannot be constantly meditating on sense enjoyment, but at the same time the last traces of lust may not have left his heart. So therefore this verse actually talks about the threshold, as Prabhuji raised this point in the end of the Bhagavatam class. So I think after Damodar Prabhu's class, you raised this point that it is mentioned that by hearing Rasleela, the lust within the heart is removed. But at the same time, if our heart is filled with lust, how can we hear Rasleela? So generally, it means a particular threshold of purification is needed to hear such leelas. But that does not mean that to hear that leela, one's heart must be completely free of all the anarthas. But a particular threshold of anartha navritti must have happened. Then when one hears, those last traces also vanish. That is the understanding. So he says, he is quoting many talks, lectures and writings by Prabhupada. And as he is worshipable, his dham is also worshipable. He is talking about Vrindavan. Follow the footsteps of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Then we will be favored by the grace of Krishna to understand him and his pastimes with Radharani. Which means ultimately he expects us to understand Krishna's pastimes with Radharani. See, initially we approach with respect, but it's not that we are never supposed to approach that subject matter at all. Ultimately, we have to, but then initially we want to equip ourselves with the requisite purification of heart before approaching that subject matter. Implied in the above quotation is an important aspect of Krishna consciousness. Although every mellow of pure devotion is perfect and complete, the mellow of conjugal love is transcendentally superior to all the others. This he explains that in one of the verses in Jaitanya Charitamrita Madhya Leela, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami says, Tatastahaya, from a very neutral point of view, if you see, all rasas are equal. What does it mean? Anyone in that particular rasa is completely satisfied. He is not hankering to become someone else. One in Dasyaras is not hankering to become Nanda Maharaj or hankering to get Vatsalya Bhava. One who is in Vatsalya is not hankering to become Madhurya. One who is in Sakya is not hankering to become Vatsalya. Everyone is completely satisfied in his own rasa. So in that sense, all rasas are equal. From a subjective point of view, everyone is perfectly satisfied. But from an objective point of view, if you see, Madhurya Rasa is superior. Because it includes the experience of Dasya, Sakya, Vatsalya and Madhurya. And Vatsalya is little inferior because it does not include the experience of Madhurya. And Sakya is still little inferior because it does not include the experience of Vatsalya and Madhurya. And Dasya is little more inferior because it does not include the experiences of Sakya, Vatsalya and Madhurya. But from an experiencer's point of view, a person in Dasya Rasa is perfectly satisfied. A person in Vatsalya is perfectly satisfied. A person in Sakya is perfectly satisfied. And a person in Madhurya is also perfectly satisfied. So from a subjective point of view, everything is equal. From an objective point of view still. So, if you see what Shivaram Maharaj is trying to mention here, he started by establishing how Prabhupada created this ISKCON to create greed. And that greed is more specific for Vrindavan Krishna. And the means to attain Vrindavan Krishna is Raga Marg. And that Raga Marg is what both Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Krishna came to give. And that is also what Prabhupada also came to give. Even though he has not so much emphasized it very often. Because the means to attain that position is by Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti. So he has always emphasized on Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti. And by Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti, one is, he also expects his students to eventually graduate to Raganuga Bhakti. So that is what he is mentioning here. And he also quotes Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Anarpita. And then amongst Raganuga Bhakti, he is mentioning now that the topmost rasa is Madhurya. And actually, if you see, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami has given Anarpita Charim Chirat Karunaya Vatirnaha Kalav Samarpaitum Unnata Ujjvala Rasam. So, Ujjvala Rasa means Madhurya Rasa. Jaya Jaya Jwala Rasa Sarva Rasa Sar Parakiya Bhavayaha Brajate Prachar. So, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to actually, even though he didn't directly do prachar of this, while discussing with others, he would do only Harinam Sankirtan. Or at the most, discuss Dhruva Maharaj and Prahlad Maharaj's pastimes from Bhagavatam. But through his activities with Ramananda Rai and Swarup Damodar Goswami, through his example, he has established Madhuri. Especially in the Antyalila last few chapters, he has given. That is a prayojan for all the followers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But one does not prematurely assume that one has reached that stage. But nevertheless, we don't reject it by telling that it is just meant for Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and not us. But we know that where we have to know where we are currently. And we should know at our current stage what level of Vaidhi Sadhana is expected from us. But eventually we also understand our prayojan that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has come to give. So, to clarify even further the meaning of the mellow of conjugal love, Srila Prabhupada describes it as the perfection of becoming a confidential maid servant of Srimati Radharani. This he quotes from the purport of Sri Upadeshamrita. So, he says that in time devotees thus absorb, give up their bodies and return to the spiritual world. This is from the 11th verse of Upadeshamrita purport. There they serve Sri Radha just as they had done in their meditation on the banks of Radhakund during their lifetime. Srila Prabhupada goes on to say, the conclusion is that to live on the banks of Radhakund and to bathe there daily constitute the highest perfection of devotional service. But of course, that needs purification. So therefore, when his disciples asked them, should we go to Radhakund and stay? What did Prabhupada say? Was it Prabhupada? No. Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur said, that is not Radha Kund, that is Naraka Kund for you. He said, without proper purification, you go there and think that you are qualified to stay there. He said that Radha Kund will no longer be Radha Kund for you. It will be Naraka Kund for you. He said, it is a difficult position to attain even for great sages and devotees like Narada Muni. Thus, there is no limit to the glory of Sri Radha Kund. Where does he talk about why he wrote this book? Is it here only?
No,
Preface was... now we are reading introduction. Okay. That we already completed. Preface, foreword we read and introduction half we read. Okay. So I'll give you a brief to the preface also. So we are just recapping for those who didn't come. Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj once said that the offenseless meditation on the syllables of the holy name would reveal one's swarupa. Similarly, studying the meaning of the words Krishna consciousness through Srila Prabhupada's teachings will guide us to our eternal identity and to Krishna. His Divine Grace's teachings have been painstakingly enshrined in his books and they dispel all doubts about how to become Krishna conscious. Thus, devotees serious about following Srila Prabhupada can always turn to his books for guidance. Still, devotees sometimes reminisce. What is the meaning of reminisce?
Think about it.
Fondly remember. fondly remember something that has happened. Still, some devotees fondly reminisce about how much easier it was to practice Krishna consciousness when Srila Prabhupada was with us. He could resolve all controversies and answered all questions very clearly. There is no arguing about it. There is no arguing about the physical presence of Prabhupada, Vapu. However, His divine grace taught His followers not to be overly dependent on the temporary body, even the temporary body of the spiritual master. He considered His eternal instructions, Vani, more important than whatever His disciples could glean from His physical presence. To neglect or ignore those instructions would demean His mission. A transgression we should avoid at all costs. So we should not be... We cannot just sit and keep lamenting that Prabhupada is gone. We have to lament. Naturally, one feels very dejected. But then His presence is there in His instructions. Srila Prabhupada said often and explicitly that serious study of His books would fix devotees in a life of voluntary austerity and give them a broad perspective of Krishna consciousness according to the Gaudiya understanding. Prabhupada doesn't just say Vaishnava understanding. It's a little more specific. According to the Gaudiya understanding. So, with such a perspective, devotees would be able to understand the importance of applying Krishna consciousness in their own lives as well as preaching it to others. See, one thing is to understand Krishna consciousness. You broaden it. The broadest is to understand Krishna consciousness from a Vedic perspective, you can say. But little more focused is to understand Krishna consciousness from the Vaishnava perspective. Little more focused is to understand Krishna consciousness from the Gaudiya perspective, Gaudiya Vaishnava perspective. Because this is little more specific. What is Chaitanya Mahaprabhur Matam? Aradhyo Bhagavan Vrajesha Tanaya. This is not there in any sampradaya. These four things that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to give, this is not there in any other sampradaya. This is very specific to Gaudiya Vaishnava sampradaya only. Aradhyo Bhagavan Vrajesha Tanaya. Vrajesha is whom? Nanda Maharaj.
Yes.
That, even that Vraja itself is a small village only. Even the lord of that Vraja, that position is also not given to Krishna. That is given to Nanda Maharaj only. Vrajapati Suta. He is not Vrajapati, he is Nanda Maharaj. He is the son of Vrajapati. Aradhyo Bhagavan. And who is our Aradhya Bhagavan? Who is our worshipable Lord? He is the son of
King of
Vraja. Taddhama, not Vaikuntha, Vrindavanam. These are all fine differences which we do not, other sampradaya people may not necessarily agree. Taddhama Vrindavanam. What is the highest form of worship? Ramya Kachit Upasana Vrajavadu Vargena Yakalpita. The kind of reverence and respect and adoration that is given to the gopis of Vrindavan is not given in any other sampradaya. In fact, Madhvacharya writes, they were like, he almost equates them to other demigoddesses. It is their mood, Aishwarya Bhava. Srimad Bhagavatam Pramanam Amalam. The spotless Pramana is Srimad Bhagavatam. Not necessarily according to other sampradayas. For Sri Vaishnavites, it's Vishnu Puran. For Madhvites, it is Mahabharata. Rishi Vaishnava is it's Ramayana also, Ramayana and Vishnu Purana. So like that. And Pumartho Mahan, the highest goal of life is Prema. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhor Matamidam. This is the opinion of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So therefore, if you see the Vaishnava commentaries to the same book, either Bhagavad Gita or Bhagavatam, like in the Vedic perspective, even Shankaracharya's commentary would fit. Shankaracharya's, Ramanujacharya's, Madhvacharya's, Baldev Vidya Bhushan's, Krishna Chakravarti Thakur's, everything will fit. But when you narrow it little more, come to the Vaishnava perspective, Madhusudan Saraswati, Shankaracharya, their commentaries will have to be left out. So then the Vaishnava perspectives, Ramanujacharya, Madhvacharya, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Vallabhacharya, their commentaries would stay. But if you make it little more specific, Gaudiya Vaishnava perspective, then you can say Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur's commentary. Well, then Baldev Bhushan to some extent, because he had to present a proper refutation to Mayavad Khandan. It had to, if you see Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur's commentary and Bhagavad Gita also, there is not much of a Mayavad Khandan there. It's a very rasic commentary that he has written, specifically for Gaudiya Vaishnava. Those who already accept the philosophy of Gaudiya Vaishnava, it is for them. So therefore, Srila Prabhupada's books held all the answers, how to practice devotional service and how to fulfill all aspirations. By continually discussing his books amongst themselves, his followers would become perfect in Krishna consciousness. By continually discussing, continually means every day. By everyday discussing his books, his followers would become perfect in Krishna consciousness. To neglect such discussions, so he does not say by continuously studying or reading. Yes, by continuously discussing amongst themselves. Machitta madgata prana bodhayanta parasparam katayantascha mam nityam tushyanti charamanti cha. And taking pleasure in doing that. Krishna Chakravarti Thakur commenting on this, he says, bodhayanta parasparam means, he says, when a speaker is there, the devotee listens. When a listener is there, the devotee speaks. When no second person is there, the devotee sings. That is the meaning of bodhayanta parasparam and katayantascha. Katayantascha means sings. When no one is there, he sings the glories of Krishna. Like Mother Yashoda would sing. To neglect such discussions would be to put themselves in harm's way. Srila Prabhupada writes, all the devotees connected with the Krishna consciousness movement must read all the books that have been translated. The Chaitanya Charitamrita, Srimad Bhagavatam, the Bhagavad Gita and others. Otherwise, after some time, they will simply eat, sleep and fall down from their positions. Thus, they will miss the opportunity to attain an eternal blissful life of transcendental pleasure. In summary, by faithfully assimilating and following Srila Prabhupada's teachings, devotees will naturally develop spontaneous attachment to Krishna. That's how. See, basically the whole parampara is moving ahead with the mission of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Raga marga bhakti loke karite prachara. But just like sometimes they may completely sugarcoat a very bitter pill in order to coax the child to take that medicine. Similarly, sometimes the acharyas, according to the particular time, place and circumstances, may seem to emphasize on Vaidhi. But inside that Vaidhi is hidden Raganugraha. But you can assess that only if you chew and chew and chew and come to the center. So only when we chew and by practicing Vaidhisadhana and dissolve the outer layers, inside is the mission of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu hidden. In time, the devotees' mature spontaneous attachment will inspire Krishna to reveal their spiritual identity, their relationship with him, and the loving devotion by which to purchase him, prema. So, in due course of time, one's own spiritual identity will be revealed, rasa will be revealed, and prema will be revealed. Thus, under Srila Prabhupada's guidance, members of ISKCON who follow Prabhupada's vani strictly will unquestionably return back home, back to Godhead. Guaranteed. We have mentioned the importance of reading Srila Prabhupada's books, but the subject requires further consideration. This section briefly explores the realm of how to study Prabhupada books. This is where we ended last time. So now we are going to read this section, last part of this. Shuddha Bhakti Chintamani is, after all, mostly about hearing and reading. Of all the Vaishnava authors, I study and have learned to know and love Srila Prabhupada is the one who continues to amaze me the most. Shivaram Maharaj writing. Of all the Vaishnava authors that I study and I have known and I have loved, Srila Prabhupada is the one who continues to amaze me the most. Devotees know the extraordinary potency of his writings, which have made Krishna known throughout the world. Phalena parichayate. Yet, how many devotees fully appreciate how much knowledge Srila Prabhupada condenses in what appears to be a simple and effortless presentation of Krishna consciousness? How many have understood the depth of what Prabhupada writes? In plain English, with everyday examples, Srila Prabhupada makes elevated devotional modes, complex philosophical concepts, and intricate linguistic nuances understandable even to lay persons. That which our acharyas would say, you would quote Panini and all, and explain the intrinsic linguistic nuances, Amarakosh, Vishwakosh, and all that. Prabhupada in simple, plain English would explain it so that even lay persons can understand. Indeed, the spiritual truths in Srila Prabhupada's purports are like hidden veins of gold that when mined reveal pure nuggets of transcendental vision. Like if you read Shyam Sundar Prabhu's Chasing Rhinos with the Swami. So in that introduction, you know, his experience as an explorer. So where he goes, looks for those veins, he goes to, you know, Venezuela, South America, where, you know, in the deep in the forest, how to look for those veins in the quartz stones, you know, what is the symptom, where the gold deposits become thicker and thicker. See, externally it will not look, but there are some symptoms that you can see, like that. But when you mine there, when you will get pure nuggets of gold. So hidden veins of gold. So Srila Prabhupada's purports are like hidden veins of gold, and when mined, reveal pure nuggets of transcendental wisdom, which is compared to gold. Devotees who scrutinize Srila Prabhupada's books tend to observe that he often embeds in a few phrases instructions for readers at many levels of advancement. Thus, his teachings are simultaneously relevant to neophytes, intermediates, and advanced. But devotees who neglect to read Srila Prabhupada's books or who read them superficially cannot perceive His divine graces many leveled guidance. If you have had an opportunity to attend some Vidyapeeth classes where I teach either second canto, third canto or fourth canto something. So there we do this exercise. First we spend sufficient time understanding the verse with the word meanings, and then we read the purport and try to connect each purport line to the some word in that verse to understand the relevance. Because sometimes people say that Prabhupada is repetitive. But when you do this exercise, you understand Prabhupada is not repetitive actually. If at all something is repetitive, it is Srimad Bhagavatam which is repetitive, mentioning the same point again and again, but for a specific purpose. And Prabhupada, whenever he quotes it in connection to the verse only. Every line. But devotees who neglect to read Srila Prabhupada's book or who read them superficially cannot perceive His divine graces many leveled guidance. They then lose their taste for hearing and for following His directions. And eventually they fall away from the path of pure devotional service. What constitutes superficial reading? Superficial reading ka matlab kya hai? When readers fail to see the deeper meaning an author intends, their reading is said to be superficial. They see only a shallow, unsubstantial gloss of words. What is the deeper meaning that Prabhupada is trying to give? What is the deeper meaning that the author is trying to give? If you are not trying to understand, that is shallow reading. Shallow too is their attempt to separate the author's intended meaning from the greater context of his overall teachings. Sometimes Prabhupada says something which may not be in line with his overall teachings. So you have to understand how to understand this particular statement in so that the overall teachings is not compromised. You cannot take that one statement and make a siddhanta out of it and say that this is the siddhanta. Then what about this whole thing that Prabhupada has taught throughout his books and teachings and his lectures? So, the scriptural texts they illuminate and the writings of previous acharyas. So, this is very important point. Shallow too is their attempt to separate the author's intended meaning from the greater context of his overall teachings. The scriptural text they illuminate and the writings of previous acharyas. So, he thinks three things should be taken into consideration in trying to understand. Perfectly understand. First is, Prabhupada's teachings are not separate from the text that Prabhupada is trying to illuminate through his purports. So it's not that text is telling something, Prabhupada is telling something what he wants only. Koi kuch bhi verse de lo, Prabhupada khud ka hi bolte rehte hain. That is shallow. So you have to be able to see Prabhupada's purports in connection with the text that the purport is trying to illuminate. And also, Prabhupada is not trying to give his own interpretation. So, it has to be in conjunction with previous acharyas. One should see that conjunction also. That's what he is mentioning here. Shallow too is their attempt to separate the author's intended meaning from the greater context of his overall teachings, from the scriptural text they try to illuminate, and the writings of previous acharyas. One example of shallow approach to Srila Prabhupada's books is the misreading of his description of spontaneous devotional service in the second chapter of Nectar of Devotion. While reading Nectar of Devotion, we discussed this point, and I was very happy that Shivaram Maharaj was mentioning the same point, same example he gives in this introduction to this book. So Prabhupada, in a very interesting way, he defines Raganuga, which actually, if you see, is the definition of Bhava Bhakti. He gives the definition of Bhava Bhakti. But for a particular reason. So Prabhupada writes in Nectar of Devotion about Raganuga. So now what we are going to read now is while talking about, in Vaidhi Bhakti is talking about Raganuga. Okay. So Prabhupada writes, now this sadhana bhakti or practice of devotional service may also be divided into two parts. What are the two? Vaidhi and Raganuga. The first part is called service according to regulative principles. One has to follow these instructions, these different regulative principles by the order of the spiritual master or on the strength of authoritative scriptures. And there can be no question of refusal. This is Vaidhi. That is called Vaidhi or regulated. One has to do it without argument. Another part of sadhana bhakti is called Raganuga. Now you see how he is going to define Raganuga. Raganuga refers to the point at which, by following the regulative principles, one becomes a little more attached to Krishna and executes devotional service out of natural love. This is actually bhava. For example, a person engaged in devotional service may be ordered to rise early in the morning and offer aarti, which is a form of deity worship. In the beginning, by the order of a spiritual master, one rises early in the morning and offers aarti, but then he develops real attachment. When he gets this attachment, he automatically tries to decorate the deity and prepare different kinds of dresses and thinks of different plans to execute his devotional service nicely. Although it is within the category of practice, this offering of loving service is spontaneous. This practice, sadhana, but this is spontaneous, Prabhupada says. But nowhere here Prabhupada has introduced the concept of following in the footsteps of Rajavasis, which is actually the definition of Raganuga. Because, but at the while discussing Vaidhi Bhakti, introducing such high concepts might naturally distract a person from the focus of Vaidhi Bhakti. So he gives a very generic explanation of spontaneous devotional service, which is actually the stage of bhava. So the practice of devotional service, sadhana bhakti, can be divided into two parts, namely regulative and spontaneous. This is Nectar of Devotion chapter 2. Vaidhi sadhana ka section mein Prabhupada gives this example, gives this definition. So now Shivaram Swami Maharaj writes, a superficial reading of this text may lead devotees to misconstrue it as a complete definition of Raganuga Bhakti. This is not a complete definition of Raganuga Bhakti. With such a misconception, they may accept the definition of spontaneous devotional service as no more than rising automatically for Mangalarti, dressing the deity nicely and making plans for service. Bas itna hi hai Raganuga. This is more, sorry, actually this is not bhava, this is nishta in one sense. Naturally, spontaneously rising, nishta or ruchi. But this is not necessarily Raganuga. But this definition is incomplete because it fails to consider what Srila Prabhupada says elsewhere in his books on the subject or what acharyas such as Rupa Goswami say. So Prabhupada's definition cannot contradict previous acharyas' definition. In the quotation under discussion, Srila Prabhupada is giving examples of how devotees behave when they develop natural love and real attachment. But for a complete understanding of spontaneous service, one must carefully look at what Srila Prabhupada says about it in the 16th chapter of Nectar of Devotion, when actually Raganuga Bhakti is defined. So he gives a much more elaborate definition, actually.
Previously, when Prabhupada defines a Raganuga, it seems that it's bhava. But example looks like nishta.
That's what. That is not bhava. That is actually because he uses the word spontaneous. So in that sense, it looks like bhava. But when looking at the example, it looks more like nishta. But it's neither nishta nor bhava. It is actually is trying to talk about Raganuga. And the more specific, clear definition of Raganuga actually comes in the 16th chapter when he talks about Raganuga Bhakti. And even Rupa Goswami, if you see, and Prabhupada also following in the footsteps of Rupa Goswami, Raganuga Vivekartham Adav Ragatmika Muchyate, he says. In order to first understand Raganuga, first one has to clearly understand Ragatmika Bhakti. So the whole section of Raganuga, when he describes, 60-70% of that section talks actually about Ragatmika Bhakti only.
You have to follow that.
you have to follow them. So therefore, how you can quickly define Raganuga like that? So he gives a very handy definition of Raganuga, just to indicate that in Vaidhi Bhakti you have to, because the focus is Vaidhi Bhakti, na? And Vaidhi Bhakti is dependent on following scriptures. So he gives a very handy definition without getting too much into the details of Raganuga. But when it comes to 16th chapter, 16th and 17th chapter talks mostly about Ragatmika Bhakti. And then he talks, one who follows such a Ragatmika Bhakti is a Raganuga Bhakti. Like that he says. But that would be a much detailed explanation for a person who is starting with Vaidhi Sadhana. Therefore, he does not do that. There he says, but one cannot say that, you see, how is Prabhupada defining Raganuga here? This is the definition. That's a superficial reading. That's what Shivaram Maharaj is trying to say. There he says, persons desiring to follow in the footsteps of such eternal devotees of the Lord as the Vrishnis and Vrindavan denizens are called Raganuga devotees, which means that they are trying to attain the perfection of those devotees. There is a gradual development of ambition to become like a particular devotee, and this activity is called Raganuga. So he says, we must always remember, however, that such eagerness to follow in the footsteps of the denizens of Vraja or Vrindavan is not possible unless one is freed from material contamination. When one is actually spontaneously attracted to the loving principles of the gopis, there will be found no trace of any mundane contamination in his character. This is like a more elaborate. So see this definition and see the definition that he gives in second chapter, where he says, initially a person is ordered to rise early, perform arati, and at some stage he automatically rises and offers arati. So Prabhupada is just trying to their focus on Vaidhi, which is based on orders, vidhi. So one cannot shift that focus light to Raganuga and say, see here, this is the definition of Raganuga Bhakti. The clear definition of Raganuga Bhakti comes in
16th. No trace of contamination. Spontaneously attracted loving. This is bhav?
No. No trace means, again, it indicates a particular threshold. Because no trace can happen only at the stage of bhava. This statement also should be understood in the context of his overall teachings. Here Srila Prabhupada clearly defines spontaneous devotion as the pure ambition to serve Krishna like the Vrajavasis. A definition consistent with the one Rupa Goswami gives in Bhaktirasamrita Sindhu. To this Srila Prabhupada adds a second component, freedom from unwanted habits. This is one of the chapters in Shuddha Bhakti Chintamani. How you can get rid of unwanted habits. In Srila Prabhupada's definition, therefore, practicing spontaneous devotion cultivates the ambition to serve Krishna like the Vrajavasis and begins after the stage of Anarthanavritti. And Anarthanavritti also in the strictest sense, if you see, even though it says Anarthanavritti, does not mean after the stage of Anarthanavritti there are no Anarthas. So Anarthanavritti stage means a threshold, you cross a particular threshold of Anarthanavritti beyond which the remaining traces of Anarthas cannot stop you from performing steady devotional service. Nishta. Therefore after Anarthanavritti comes Nishta. But if you see, if you read in the third chapter of Madhurya Kadambini, he explains that at the stage of Nishta, the anarthas are gone only ekadeshavartini, bahudeshavartini, praiki, purna and atyantiki. Five stages of destruction of anarthas he describes. He states that certain kinds of anarthas attain complete destruction only at the stage of bhava, and certain only at the stage of prema, atyantiki. Atyantiki means gone and shall never return back. Such kind of anarthas. Some anarthas go to that level of atyantiki only at the stage of prema. So even though the term anartha nivritti is used, it is used in a highly contextual sense and not in an absolute sense. Where anartha nivritti means no anarthas remain, not like that. So anarthas do not remain beyond a particular level where the residual anarthas do not affect a steady practice of devotional service. That's what it means. Thus we should understand the first of Srila Prabhupada's statements above in relation to the second statement. The second says that the chief symptom of spontaneous devotional service is genuine greed to serve Krishna in the mood of rajavasis. It also says that the earliest such greed manifests itself when devotees are freed of material contamination, which means raganuga starts only after anartha nivritti. So if we are infested with anarthas because of which we are not able to practice steady devotional service, then we are not yet qualified for raganuga sadhana. And in Madhure Kadambini, Srila Vishnu Jagat Thakur says, what are the symptoms that one has crossed the anartha nivritti stage? So he says, if you are free from these five things while practicing your sadhana, especially chanting, japa, hearing and chanting. If you are free of these five things, you are there in nishta stage, which means you are qualified for hearing, chanting and remembering. Japa is remembering, smaranam. Hearing is shravanam. And singing is kirtanam. So while doing these three, you must be free of five. What are the five? He says, sleep, laya. If we feel sleepy while chanting or hearing or singing, he says in the order in which it is presented. We feel most sleepy during japa, little less sleepy during hearing and little less sleepy during kirtan. While kirtan, you will hardly find anyone sleeping. You may feel still. So he says that laya, this is the first symptom. If it is there during our performance of devotional activities, which means we have not yet reached the stage of nishtha. Second, he says, is vikshepa, distraction. We are always thinking here and there, looking here and there. So then if this is there also, we have not yet reached the stage of nishtha. Laya, vikshepa, apratipatti. Apratipatti means lack of taste. Come, let's chant some extra rounds today. नहीं तो आप करो आज मुझे इच्छा नहीं. Not that he always says no, but sometimes one may say no because of lack of taste. If he never has any taste for chanting, then he is outside the realm of bhakti. So then that is the third, laya, vikshepa, apratipatti. And the fourth is rasaswada. Rasaswada means desiring to enjoy material things. At the stage of nishtha, it is not there. And the fifth is laya, vikshepa, apratipatti, rasaswada and bad habits. What is bad habits called? Kashaya. If you are still troubled by old bad habits or newly developing bad habits. Newly developing bad habits are, we may not have had it before, but now it may have been newly developed, frequently checking our WhatsApp messages, whatever it may be. So if you are still troubled by it, then these five symptoms indicate that we have not yet reached the stage of nishta. We have not crossed anartha nivritti. Then which means we are also not yet qualified for practicing raganuga sadhana. Like that.
Laya
vikshepa, apratipatti, rasaswada and kashaya. So these five symptoms. These are the symptoms of classic symptoms of anishtita bhajan. So
there could be exceptions, some like pure devotee could be tired and things.
Yeah.
You cannot label
them. See, all these books are for self-evaluation. Whether that person is sleeping or not, also you will not know. He may be meditating. So these are books for self-evaluation. These are not books for evaluating anyone else. And because a person who is there, he knows he is there. So, if he is not there, you know he is not there. But we cannot know whether someone else is there or not. That is for. So these are tools for self-evaluation. These are not tools for judging others. It does not say that a superficial reading may infer that devotees who rise early and dress the deities are necessarily on the path of Raganuga Bhakti. In this way, devotees should be attentive while reading Srila Prabhupada's books. They should not take Srila Prabhupada's statements out of the context of his entire teachings. Teachings that are a window to the teachings of the previous acharyas, like Pranath Krishna Prabhu was quoting one thing. So he was telling that once Prabhupada was giving a class, and Prabhupada was telling that how there is no one equal to Lord Krishna. So then one Indian gentleman, he raised his hands. He said, but Prabhupada, in Ramayana, Lord Ram worships Lord Shiva. So this shows Lord Shiva is greater than Lord Ram. So Prabhupada, you know what Prabhupada said? Yes. That may be right. He may be greater than Lord Krishna, but he is not equal to Lord Krishna. So, you can't just take this statement and say that Lord Shiva is greater than Lord Krishna, but he is not equal to. Because this will not fit within the overall teachings of Prabhupada. So, this is just to cut a conversation. And that person got so bewildered that he could not speak further. So Prabhupada continued his class. So there was a particular purpose to this whole thing. So you can't strip that statement out of the overall teachings of what Prabhupada has given. And
once somebody told Krishna came from Vishnu, Gaurav said, okay, then you worship, chant Vishnu's name.
Yeah, another example of Gaurangu. So, like someone in the congregation, he was very much attached to, his goal in life was to enter the Indian cricket team. Very dedicated to playing cricket. So, but he also came in touch with devotees. He got attracted to the process of Krishna consciousness. A devotee said, you are in Maya. Cricket, sports and Krishna consciousness go ill together. You have to choose one. Either Krishna or cricket. He got very discouraged because he didn't want to give up both. But if pushed really hard, he was willing to give up Krishna. Because his attraction to cricket was... He really, that was some desire that he had nurtured from childhood. So, finally he approached Gaurang Prabhu and he presented his dilemma. Gaurang Prabhu said, you go and play cricket for Krishna. He was so happy. And he said, first time someone is, you know, encouraging me. And eventually did not get into Indian cricket team. He gave up cricket and, you know, started practicing Krishna consciousness. So the point is, so you cannot take this one statement of Gaurang Prabhu out of the context of the overall teachings. Or I shared with you about Maharaj, as well as Radhanath Swami Maharaj, when you remember the two Jewish guests who had come to meet Maharaj. You remember? There were two guests who had come to Radha Gopinath temple, and in our gift shop they saw the journey home. They said, "Oh, we have read this book." And they said, "Oh, the author lives here only." Someone told them. He said, "Really? We are so inspired. We really want to meet this person." But Maharaj wasn't Jeevi. So, and they had just one day before they were going back to the United States. So, Jeevi Thakur Prabhu brought them all the way from there to meet Maharaj. So, Maharaj gave them time. So, they were like, they didn't know anything about Krishna consciousness. They were new. And they had a nice conversation. And finally, just before leaving, they asked a question to Maharaj. They said, "Maharaj, if you had practiced the faith of your birth," they were also Jewish. "If you had practiced the Jewish faith, continue, would you have achieved the same goal?" This was the question asked to Maharaj. What is the right answer?
No.
No. But what did Maharaj say?
Yes.
They went back happy. They were very happy because they were attached to their own Jewish faith. If Maharaj had told no, because their current attraction to the Jewish faith was very strong, and they were also attracted to Maharaj. But if Maharaj would have told no, it would have come between either Jewish faith or Maharaj. Maharaj said yes. So you don't have to give up both. In the ultimate sense, it is not right. But the right answer is what protects the faith of that person. Faith of that person. So sometimes you may have to say, we don't have to necessarily explain big siddhantic points to establish the thing. You may have to just do something, whatever is needed to protect the faith of that person. In the process, Srila Prabhupada worked hard to write his books. Shouldn't we, his followers, show our appreciation for his labors by working just as hard to understand them? Shuddha Bhakti Chintamani uses Srila Prabhupada's teachings as a template along with references to the books of our previous acharyas to systematically present the devotional practices and perfection of Vraja Bhakti, that is Krishna consciousness. "I am an insignificant disciple of a great master. Yet, by the encouragement of Srila Prabhupada, the embodiment of all masters and professors of conclusive truth, I have taken up this work." Yet, by the encouragement of Srila Prabhupada, who is the embodiment of all the masters and professors of conclusive truth, I have taken up this work of Shuddha Bhakti Chintamani. "I pray that it pleases him and all the Vaishnavas. As I write, I become more confident that my words will be of value to the ISKCON I love so much. But because even the best of efforts is covered by some fault, I humbly request my learned readers to correct any mistakes they may find and to forgive my shortcomings." So, we have 2 minutes left. I will just quickly, in the preface, Maharaj says why he writes this book. So, Maharaj says that I started compiling the Krishna in Vrindavan series, starting with Venu Geet, then Napareham, then Krishna Sangati, and then he started the fourth book, Tavakathamritam. So when the first book came out, many critics, most people appreciated the style and content, but some people raised concerns that because this is Krishna and Vrindavan series, is Vraja pastimes. Are devotees of ISKCON qualified to read such things or not? But because most people appreciate it, Maharaj went ahead. He wrote three books, he was writing the fourth book, but then while writing the fourth book, he thought, I cannot neglect the comments. So let me try to write a book which says, which talks about what is the qualification to read Radha Krishna pastimes. So that is how it started. Then he started doing some research, interviewing people, and he realized that it's a much greater concern. He thought only few people had concern, but many people are actually concerned. And some people felt, you know, reading his disclaimer before each one of these books, they felt that actually I can never read these books. I will never be qualified. Some people felt no one is qualified. And others had concerns about, in you go to Lohi Bazaar and practically every book is available. From Gita Govinda and all these esoteric books, they were available as Maharaj writes in the cloth market. Any shop. Ras Bihari Lal and Sons, you can get. So he was, and no one knows who translated, what is the devotional qualification, nothing. So people get, read it, and eventually they start doubting Prabhupada's words only. Whether Prabhupada has given everything or not, and they leave. So therefore, what is the qualification to hear these things? So slowly, slowly, with all these concerns, he put the fourth book, Tavakathamritam, on hold and wrote this huge book, Shuddha Bhakti Chintamani, with 32 chapters, with 10-12 chapters dedicated to just the process of hearing. What is hearing? What is hearing with pure faith? What is hearing with mixed faith? What is hearing with taste? And what are the results of hearing? Well, a very elaborate way he has taken this whole subject matter. At what stage of devotional development, what you should hear, what you are qualified to hear, all these things. So that's how he explains in the preface of this book why he took up to writing this book. So this is like the preliminary book that you read and understand before deciding whether you should read the Krishna and Vrindavan series or not. Even though this came up as the fourth book, but still, this is meant to be the first one. Good that we didn't read the first three books first. So we are reading this, we are going to read this first. Of course, Maharaj had definitely given disclaimers before each of these books. Who is qualified, who is not qualified. But that was very brief. This is an absolutely comprehensive presentation. So, what is left is just the afterword, which is supposed to be read after the book is complete. So, from tomorrow onwards, we'll start with the first chapter of this book. So, please try to be on time. So, we'll start with the first chapter of Shuddha Bhakti Chintamani.
Shila.
Seed of devotion. Srila Prabhupada ki
jai.
Srila Shivaram Swami Maharaj ki
jai.
Shuddha Bhakti Chintamani
ki jai.